Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Scottish podcast by Scottish people about Scottish things. We're three lifelong friends and displaced Scotsmen who get together to talk about our homeland, the weird stuff that happens there, and to remind us why we are the way we are. Welcome to This'll Do Nicely. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's story with Rory. I am Rory, and this is our Halloween special, This'll Boo Nicely. I am... hair-raising Rory. I am joined by creepy Chris, just so scary Johnny, and especially for our Halloween episode, horrifying Owen.
That'd be cold worse.
Can I just clarify that creepy Chris doesn't mean that I'm on a register anymore?
I'd hope not.
Well, not at least not in the state you're currently living in. Hello, everybody. How y'all doing?
All right.
I'm talking to you.
I thought you were talking to the audience for then no one else was responding, so I thought I would be the one.
Owen, welcome back to the Thistle Do Nicely pod. It's great.
Thanks
to have
for
you.
Having me back. Thanks for having me back. It's great to be here.
I'm enjoying this tradition that we got going now.
Scots are all about tradition, man.
Yeah,
that's all it takes. All it takes is two, and then you've got a tradition going. So
exactly,
you know.
Exactly.
Does this mean I've got to send you Christmas cards now? Because I've never sent a Christmas card in my life.
Nah. I mean, famously, we barely, as a nation, we didn't even celebrate Christmas for a while.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, last year we did, what was it, like, the origin of Halloween and how, as with everything else in the world, Scotland invented it, told some creepy, spooky stories, and... I think this year we're going to get a wee bit into the witches. I mean, the creepy spookiness of witches in Scotland. But I guess kind of before that, I mean, Owen, you know, a lot over the years since we last had you on, a lot of our emails and listeners come to us and say like, oh, I found you through the Scottish History podcast. So I guess right now with you on, we have to kind of say thank you for, you know, sending your listeners our way and, you know, helping us grow our audience. So we appreciate it.
I wonder
it.
If any of us
genuinely
gone the other direction. Seems less likely.
So, Owen, we are thinking...
I'm taking the fifth on that one.
We are thinking of starting up some merch, so I suppose you get like 5% of that or something.
Whoa, wait, you know, sorry. We did
five.
Not... Excuse me.
We haven't talked about this yet.
Yeah. This is
7.5.
This is an offer. 12, wait, hey.
15, 25.
To be
40, 60.
To be completely and utterly serious about that, that was something I was actually going to talk to you about, because the biggest issue that I have with doing merch across in America is the fact that, obviously, if I have it made over here, it's going to cost me mega bucks to send it over. So I was thinking maybe a wee bit of quid pro quo, and we'll negate that 5% down to about 1.5.
So we become your merch monkeys over in America,
basically. Yeah,
interesting.
I've been reading an awful lot about a global supply chain crisis the last few days.
I've only just went back onto the buses, but I'm seriously considering becoming an HGV driver. Yeah.
This is Brexit Britain. This is what's happening, you know. Brexit. Trying to make the new deal with America, trying to stitch it all back together. Typical
Scottish History Podcast and Thistle Do Nicely, maintaining that UK, Scotland, America connection for the rest of life.
Stick that up your arse, the Caledonian Society.
All right, I like it. This is going to be excellent. You know, building empires and you know, international trade routes. We just need to buy, I think, some sort of shipping container. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I've been reading an awful lot about that today as well. I mean, like, we got to get in on that, guys. Otherwise, you know, Biden's going to have us.
Ship will do nicely.
Oh, no, there's another one, actually. The last time I spoke to you, Trump was still in charge.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Which is a pretty good segue into what we're going to talk about today. I mean, who popularized the phrase witch hunt better than anyone?
Yeah.
Our formerly great president, Donald Trump.
I mean, that's too good a segue not to give it to you, Chris. So do you want to take it away?
Yeah, so when people think of witches, witch hunt, they obviously think of the fake Russia investigation. So I'm going to dive deep into that and how it was all a hoax by crooked Hillary.
Again, you've looked at the wrong Wikipedia page. You've done it again. Okay. This is not, we agreed on witches as in flying on broomsticks, casting spells.
Yeah,
ancient
just like
time.
Crooked Hillary. Thanks, Rory, for saying
that. You're going to have to change the passwords again.
Yeah, this is... Oh, man.
It's getting out of control.
I'll save that for Getter. But like before I said, you can find us on Getter at getter.com.
No, you can't. It's a terrible place. We're not there.
No.
Anything that is said on that website by Chris does not represent the Thistle Denizer podcast.
Well, no, obviously we're not talking about that. That would probably get us taken off the airwaves. But one thing that I think Rory alluded to this when we made our triumphant return, is that we kind of want to go a bit more deep divey into stuff and maybe do 2 and 3 parters. And our next big topic is going to be focused on James VI slash of Scotland slash James I of England, Great Britain, what have you. And we will get fully into him over the next couple of weeks. But one thing that he was particularly known for was really exacerbating the witch hunt or witch scares or whatever you want to call it in Scotland. He considered himself a bit of an intellectual, James VI, but for some reason he was absolutely obsessed with witches. And I have some theories about why he was obsessed with witches, and I'm going to get to that later.
I'm just going to interrupt you real quick because I'm excited about the joke that I'm going to make when we do our James episodes properly. The fact that he is James VI and James I, I'm really excited about calling him James 3.5 for the entire episode because it's the average. It's just going to be really, really good. I'm excited.
That's a joke you can make. That is definitely one you can make.
I've written it down to make sure that I remember it.
I mean, if the reaction you got right there is anything to go by, I for one can't wait.
Johnny, it's the way you tell it, and I was telling you about the joke.
Right.
Don't worry about it. It'll be fine on the night.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a
no doubts.
Deconstructed cheesecake on Bake Off or something like that. I mean, Rory, you've just used up one of our 4 laughs there.
It's a long way
it's more of like a warming them up for it, you know?
Yeah, right. Okay. Jesus.
I love derailing you.
I don't know where to begin. I'll just launch right into it, shall I? So... What I'm going to do
See,
is I'm going to tell you...
if you take 6 plus 1 and then divide it by 2...
Oh, no.
What does that make?
3.5.
Okay.
So he's like 3.5... You get it? I'm going to email you. Don't worry about it. I'll email you.
What do you want me to say?
Can you CC me on this email? Because anything numbers or math related, straight over my head. Like,
Send me how you got there with the sum in scan or fax it.
Actually. Okay.
That would be better.
I'll fax it.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about James VI and why he was so into witches. And then I'm going to throw it open to you folks, seeing as it's spooky season again. And you know, we can all explain to the readers why witches get stitches.
Love it.
Yeah. So just to give you a little bit of context, apparently the Scottish Parliament had criminalised witchcraft in 1563, which was just before James's birth, which made the act of being a witch a capital offence. But 3 decades kind of go by and before the first major witchcraft panic arose, and it all stems from King Jimmy, which is extraordinary. I mean, you know, obviously he's the most powerful man in Scotland at that time, and I guess what he says goes, but I just love the idea. It is, not to harken back too much to Trump, but I do love the idea of some, you know, lunatic just creating some kind of wild conspiracy theory and then all his fans being like, yeah, she's a witch, yeah, lock her up, burn her at the stake. So, you know, James the VI absolutely kind of...
It's like the 18th century equivalent of, like, shows a birth certificate.
So during the reign of James, somewhere between 70 and 200 witches were put on trial, tortured and even executed from the town of North Berwick alone. And this all stems from an incident that happened in it's either 1589 or 1590. I saw kind of differing accounts of
what the origins are uncertain.
The origins are... It is, Jonathan, you're correct, but I've narrowed it down to a specific 2-year period, which I think is pretty good for us.
That's probably the best we've done so far.
Progress. I think it may have happened over the winter of 1589 into early 1590.
That checks out.
Got it.
You know how it is. And this all stems from when he was traveling to Denmark to collect his new bride, Anne of Denmark. And I'm just going to throw in an Arrested Development joke here because I think Anne is very much a sort of egg situation for James. You remember how my mum was talking about, like, outed him? I found an awful lot of literature about that, which I will get into in a couple of weeks' time. But, I mean, Anne was definitely there as a placeholder.
Interesting. So there's some legitimacy to what your mum was saying.
James's nickname is apparently the Queen of England.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So this is kind of one of my original reasons for why I think he's obsessed with witches, because I just think he couldn't be bothered getting married to Anne, and he's like concocted this ridiculous story behind it. Anyway, so during the crossing, the storms were so severe that he was forced to turn back, and for whatever reason, I don't know why, he became convinced that this was the work of witches from North Berwick who were intent on killing him.
I believe these are the ones that he thought were throwing cats at the boat.
Yeah, there's kind of, from what I got, the King James sanctioned witch trials after he got a confession from a witch called Agnes Sampson. And according to Agnes Sampson's confession, which I think had kind of been coerced out of her after horrific torture, where she would say anything.
Yeah.
It was revealed that 200 witches, even some of them from Denmark, had sailed in sieves, I think that's how you pronounce it, to the Church of North Berwick on Halloween night in 1590, or 89, I don't know. And there the devil preached to them and told them to plot the king's destruction. And after hearing these confessions, even though they had been completely extorted by torture, King James and his advisors came to believe that there was a witchcraft conspiracy that threatened his reign. This all sounds very familiar, guys, doesn't it? Incredibly familiar. I mean,
it's shockingly history. Yeah. What do they say? History's a circle.
Yeah. So that all happens, and that kind of kicks off his obsession. And I think we alluded to it during our Macbeth episode. It was no accident that Shakespeare wrote about the three witches in Macbeth, because James, at the time, was the king, obsessed with witches, and you write to your audience. So even the witches in Macbeth talk about conjuring up a storm. And I could just imagine James sitting in the Globe Theatre being like, they did do that. They did do that to me. Absolutely.
It's that meme of Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the screen.
That's it. That's what happened. That's exactly what happened. so he he kind of carries on his fascination of witchcraft when he becomes the King of England as well. And he even writes a book about it, which I'll explain a little bit more later. But Scotland is where he sort of began this crusade against the witches. And the witch trials of North Berwick are noteworthy just because of the sheer number of witches that were tried in such a kind of tiny and fairly insignificant town in Scotland. For those who don't know, North Berwick's it's more or less a border town, isn't it? How far out? It's somewhat near Edinburgh, but maybe, you know, Rory, you were the expert on how far Glasgow and Edinburgh are apart from each other. Things change with how long roads get.
It depends on whether you're driving a horse and car, or two horses and car, or a car, or a small bicycle. North Berwick's just outside of Edinburgh. The only way I know that is our friend and a bunch of people from university, but our friend Esther was from there.
Lovely speaking voice, people from North Berwick.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And apparently murderous of, witches or women who are very outspoken.
Indeed. Now, I'm going to explain kind of, I think, the main reason why they managed to get all these confessions out of witches. And it's the implements of torture in particular that were used on them. So a couple of absolute doozies here, but one of them was called the Breast Ripper, which is exactly as it sounds. So it consists of four pronged levers that would encase the breast of the witch, and then they would tear it from her chest.
Jesus.
So, that's grim. They basically probably say anything in order for that to stop.
I know it's Halloween, Chris, but slow your roll.
Well, look, Rory, this time last year for Halloween, you told a story about a woman with very low-hanging breasts, and I just wanted to tell my own story.
Okay,
about
fair
it,
enough.
Okay?
Keep the
fair
tradition enough, alive.
So. Yeah.
Exactly. Another one that was used on witches that were either already tried or awaiting trial was the Scold's Bridle, which was a metal device that fit around the head and had metal protrusions that would slide into the victim's mouths, making it impossible to talk. And I don't know if this is a joke from the website I got it, but it also says sometimes men would use these devices on errant wives who nagged them to it.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, you know.
So
you gotta get them to shut up, right?
Is this what you want for Christmas? Is this what you're suggesting?
No, absolutely not.
Why are you nodding?
why are you giving two thumbs up? And then, so that was the torture, and then there were several measures that were used to detect if you were a witchcraft. So, but some of them are really simple. And here's my theory: one of them that you could be accused simply for having red hair. And who famously had red hair that may have been related to James VI that he may have had some issues with?
I mean, sure, but like all of Scotland does.
No, this is all stemming from the fact that James VI had massive mummy issues. Remember,
right. I know.
He was plucked from her at age 30. He became the king at 13 months. She was away. Yeah. She kept trying to get the throne back from him. She was just a pain. They had a very difficult relationship. Apparently he had a whole bunch of tutors and stuff that were basically kind of telling him that his mum was awful. This is because he had mummy issues. Absolutely.
I mean, this is kind of fascinating. It would be great to do like a psychology deep dive into James, because it sounds, I think you're probably right, he did have a lot of issues, and unfortunately was also one of the most powerful men in the world at the time.
So, yeah, he was, I blame the fact that he had a difficult relationship with his mum. And so, among the witches that were accused at North Berwick for trying to murder James were Agnes Sampson, who I think I mentioned, who was a well-known midwife, and Gellie Duncan, who was a healer. And these two were part of the 70 that were rounded up after James had his stormy sea adventure. They both confessed after being tortured. Gellie was burned at the stake. The two women named several accomplices who were also tortured and probably burned, although it's not known how many fell prey to this at the time. And under pain of death, they said that they had dug corpses from graveyards in the area. They tied limbs to dead cats, as you said, and then threw the mess into the sea to conjure up the storm to kill him, which is madness. I mean, I'd love to be just kind of be a fly in the wall for that, of the guy that's torturing them and being like, someone's got to be feeding them those lines, right?
Yeah.
They're under so much pain and torture that who is the lunatic that's like standing at the side being like, did you throw a cat into the sea? with body parts?
But is there also truth in that? Because you said about like the red hair thing. Isn't it the throwing in water, like throwing the witch in water, and if they sink or something like that old thing? Is there any truth in that?
Yeah, yeah, there is. And I like, Johnny, honestly, there would be, if you had a so-called devil's mark, or AKA a birthmark, or even if you were left-handed,
right,
those were kind of the rudimentary. If
you're left-handed.
I am.
Ooh.
And I have a redheaded sister.
Oh my God.
Sister who is also left-handed. So, you know.
Double whammy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I just quickly say something about what Johnny was just asking there? There's one particular thing, especially when it comes to Edinburgh and the old Nor Loch at Edinburgh, which is now Princess Street Gardens, that's where the witches were thrown in to be tested as to whether or not they could, if they sank, then they were innocent or whatever. But there is no proof to say that they ever did that. Certainly no proof to say they ever did it in the Nor Loch. They probably did do it elsewhere.
But what was it, if you sank, you're a witch, and if you floated, you're not?
If you floated, you were a witch, and if you sank, right, then you were innocent. If you drowned, you were innocent. So regardless, even if you floated, they would just take you out and kill you anyway.
Just
leave you in there. Yeah. So basically, people who could swim were witches.
Yeah. They weren't the smartest back then, were they?
No.
No. Well, I mean, James the Sixth was very well read, and he's the guy that was driving all this stuff. So basically that happens, and then it kind of goes quiet for a little bit, as far as I can tell. But then Scotland appears to like constantly go into like sporadic witch panics every few years.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But so 6 years later, another panic breaks.
Bad weather.
Probably just like wives cooking bad meals and, just looking for something to do. So 6 years later, another panic breaks out. And once again, witches are being reported to be conspiring against King James. And there's a woman called Margaret Aitken, who is the so-called Great Witch of Balwearie, who supposedly claimed a special power to detect other witches, many of whom were put to death on her word alone. And then, of course, she was exposed as a massive fraud because...
So she was a good witch hunting other witches, but then...
I don't know. No, I don't think she was... Well, who knows?
Good witch hunting. Wasn't Matt Damon in that?
Nice. Very good. But... So this kind of, like, when Aitken's exposed as this fraud, apparently this embarrasses the other witch hunters, and that includes James, and who, you know, needs to kind of sweep this all under the rug, but it justifies him publishing this book that he's famous for called The Bible. No, I'm just kidding. it's called Demonology, or Daemonology. I think it's spelled D-A-E-M. It's probably... probably demonology. And this is like James's apparently attempt to kind of explain the way that the devil operates in the world, and how he's the leader of the fallen angels who become demons, and these demons made pacts with people, granted them powers to work harmful magic. And so according to James's book, witchcraft was the secret conspiracy between humans and demons. So it's kind of him explaining why going after witches is okay, and he's written it down. He was quite a prolific writer, but that was one of his more famous ones. And I do again love the idea of this guy with more power than intelligence and sense, just doing what he wanted, and he could do whatever he wanted whenever he wanted, and that includes putting
just
multiple people to death because he thought that they were witches.
scribblings of a madman that then gets turned into law.
Essentially. And it's Scotland's obsession with witches is kind of goes from there. So James eventually does kind of move on. Like he a big thing happens to him. He then eventually becomes the King of England as well, which we'll get fully into next week. And he, funnily enough, gets distracted about that because it's quite a big job. And, you know, he then also gets distracted by other people that he thinks are against him. And those people are way worse than witches. They are the Catholics.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. But so James is off doing that, taking on the Catholics, and who are also redheaded, a lot of them, I've noticed. So there's a link there.
Yeah. He's just hair racist.
Could be that. He hates his mum, Rory.
I know.
He hates his mum. But Scotland still kind of keeps up the good fight against the witches while he's gone.
Don't worry, Jimmy. We got this. We'll get them.
I honestly think it's like they've just thought, well, by the king, didn't he say that we should stop it going against the witches and that? So should we just like sit about them for a while? Bye.
I think it checks out.
We got this. You come back, Jimmy. We'll look after your gaff.
No one witch in the whole of Scotland when you get back here. Good. Well done in your promotion and that, but we're going to kill some witches for you.
Yeah, go take on those Catholic bastards. that's sort of it, really, like how James was hugely influential in this obsession of how Scotland in particular became so kind of into witches and killed like proportionally quite a lot of people considering the Scottish population. North Berwick seems to have got it just about as bad as everyone.
That's always a shocking thing is reading all these stories about the witches that were put to death in these tiny little towns, and the numbers are so insane for a population of like 400. They've killed almost like half the population because they assumed that they were witches. It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, I also think, as well as I'm hating his mum, it was partly a distraction from being married to Anne. Like, yeah. I can't focus on you now, Anne. I need to go kill all these women. And also, I'm having multiple affairs with men back at my court. they're not related, though, Anne. Trust me, they're not related. Yeah, that's basically it, folks. James was incredibly influential when it came to kind of setting the tone for Scotland's obsession with witches. I think as far as I'm concerned, he kind of started the obsession with it. He may not have finished it and went on to bigger and better things. But yeah, he definitely set a very violent tone that I think seemed to go on, you know, in sporadic bursts over the next couple centuries, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, what was James's dates? Like, when did he die? Or whatever.
Oh.
When did he kick off the whole witches thing?
He kicked off, like I said, in either 1589 or 1590, right, when this incident happened. And witchcraft had been around before, but and it had been made illegal, so there was clearly something there, but I think the real kind of hysteria started with this visit to Denmark to pick up his wife that he definitely didn't want to marry. And then James died in 1625, but he became King of England, I think, 1603, around that time. So I think at that point, he only moved down to England. He only came back to Scotland once, despite claiming like he was going to be back all the time. It was like moving to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah, because we've got like multiple stories that span all the centuries, like from his birth, of various witch trials in Scotland. So I think you're right. This wasn't just a one-off bad patch in our history. This keeps on coming back. So I guess... Yeah, I guess it's time to tell some stories about witches and witch trials through Scotland. I mean, I'll start with one. the Pitt and Weem witch trials of 1704. So you guys know Pitt and Weem? I mean, it's got one of the best names.
Very good fish and chips.
Yes.
Shop.
Excellent.
Fish and it's just chips. Done for Insta.
What it's most famous for.
Yeah. Well,
it's done for Insta.
Yeah, and they have like the best fish and chip shop in the world, according to a few awards, I think. Look, I'm not giving them the awards; they just have it.
Wait, why are you shaking your? Oh, you're because Anstruther's the one. The most
everybody says that Anstruther's the best one, but in my opinion, the best fish and chips you can get, believe it or not, in Pumferston. But
amazing name,
which is another fucking absolutely fantastic exactly. name. So,
I don't think I've ever been to Pumferston, let alone tried their fish and chips. So I'm gonna have to.
To be honest, there's not very much there. Yeah, there's not much. I think it was, obviously I'm originally from West Lothian, so it was just all like mining communities. So Pumferston and Uphall, basically the same place. both shitholes.
Well, I mean, look, if you're on the east coast of Scotland and you're looking for a wee village to hang out, Pitt and Weem, you could do worse. It's just like tiny, picturesque population of about, I don't know, like 1500, very, very small. That sort of place, just down from St. Andrews. But in 1704, there was a young 16-year-old smithy called Patrick Morton who decided to accuse a bunch of people of witchcraft, resulting in various people being tortured and at least two deaths. So he worked for his dad in the local blacksmith, and Mrs. Beatrix Lang came along and asked him for some nails. And they got into some sort of what seemed like fairly mild argument where it was basically she wanted them quickly. He said, no, I've got other things to do. I'm busy. And she was annoyed and then walked away mumbling to herself about this. And then he was like, I think she just cast a spell on me.
She was just calling him an arsehole under her breath, basically.
Yeah.
He took
that. Aha, that's exactly what happened. And so the next morning he saw, and this is like all of these stories, there's all these little details that don't quite make sense, but he saw her doing something in a bucket, maybe like there's a suggestion that she was like mixing ash with water. And he was like, oh, well, she's definitely brewing potions after putting that spell on me yesterday. So I'm
100%.
I'm absolutely screwed. And he was friendly with one of the local clergymen who, and this was, like I said, 1704, because it's kind of around that time when, you know, being scared of witches was very on fleek, as the kids would say. And so there's a lot of like stories going around about them casting spells and killing people and cursing them. And he became ill. Patrick Morton became ill. And he became ill, refused to eat, and became really sickly and emaciated and all this type of stuff. And the minister, Patrick Cooper, another Patrick, so basically the moral of the story is don't trust Patricks, basically was like, hey.
That goes back to the Catholic thing, theme that's been exactly. running through. The,
yep, yeah, that's going through this. Look, let's just lay this down now. We are a pro-Catholic, pro not burning women at the stake podcast, okay? But yeah, you can't trust Patrick's. So this Patrick Cooper was telling Patrick Morton, is like, you got to, like, she's definitely a witch. She casts a spell on you. That's why you're not well. Also, all of her neighbors are also witches as well, probably. So there, you got to accuse all of them. And that's what happened. He was like, yep, they're definitely witches. She cast a spell. She was doing some black magic. Also, her next-door neighbor, Nicholas Lawson, Thomas Brown, Janet Corfitt, they were all witches. And the police just came and rounded them all up and threw them in prison. And they were in there for a variety of different times. And they were beaten. And like you said, Chris, that you were talking about earlier, they were definitely tortured. A lot of them, to a degree, sort of confessed and were, you know, said, like, yeah, we were doing it, but it was just under pain of, you know, extreme torture. Beatrix, the first lady involved in this situation, she confessed. She was held in prison for months, And then she was released actually after confessing to what she did. But she was banished from the town to go and live the rest of her days in St. Andrews, where she didn't live very long. She ended up dying, I think, from her wounds, basically. So she died in St. Andrews away from the town. Thomas Brown, he refused to confess and was starved to death in prison, and he died.
Wow. They didn't banish that person very far if it was only to St. Andrews. I mean, it's only up the coast of the...
Yeah, but in old timey times, Johnny.
To the other side of the country, yeah. You know?
Johnny, the thing you don't understand is that roads have got shorter and longer.
St. Andrews is actually further away back then, so...
Got it. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying.
Science. Hashtag geography.
Science. So, Rory, I didn't realize that men were also accused of being witches as at this time. So, was that, I'm assuming that was less common. But
yes, way less common, but it definitely, there's been a few examples of it happening. And it was, I think, when that sort of thing happens, it was confusing and they didn't really know what to do because. You know, men can't be witches. That's impossible. And I think that's probably why this guy was just kind of left. They just ignored him, left him to starve in prison because they had no idea what to do with the situation. Now, the worst person to suffer at the hands of this Bobagg Martin was Janet Corfant, or also possibly Cornfoot. That might have been her last name. I'm not quite sure. But she was actually able to escape the prison. But she was pretty quickly caught by a mob of the local townsfolk, and she was dragged down to the beach where she was tied up, stoned, beaten, and then she was crushed to death. And the way they crushed her to death was put a door on top of her and then pile stones on top of the door until the weight of it was so severe that it literally crushed her to death. That was, which is just horrendous. But
I mean, look, she's at the beach. Why don't you just attach rocks to her feet and throw her into the water? Like, why go through all that theater to use a door?
I mean, he had a spare door. He just got a new one fixed. He was like, well, what am I going to do with it?
What do I do with this door?
I guess.
I mean, might as well put it to use, you know?
We can crush this poor lady to death with it. But they weren't finished, so not only did they crush her to death under this door with stones, just to be certain, they got a horse and cart and made it drive back and forth over her corpse to make sure that it was done.
Man.
Then
that's like the 17th century Scottish version of the Family Guy fight between Peter and
the Yes, except it's like 27 people against one. So,
I'm not going to lie that, I mean, like, no matter how horrid and disgusting that sounds, and like, you know, and it was horrible that it even happened in the first place, but it does just sound exactly like a Monty Python sketch for some reason.
Yeah, it's definitely got that feel about it. Like, you know, get the door! Get the stones!
It just sounds so fucking ridiculous that you would go, drive over her again, again. Again!
With like that sickly Patrick watching from his window, just, you know, overlooking the beach, just like,
And him and the mob, they nothing was done with them, obviously. They were basically, Scott got away scot-free, they were totally fine. But the main reason I wanted to tell this story, and what I think is one of the most interesting things about it, is that... Well, we know that Sir Sean Connery is famous, amongst other things. You know, he was obviously a great actor. He was in James Bond, but he also famously courted controversy by saying it was okay to beat women. Possibly the reason that he felt that way is because his ancestors were part of the mob that killed Janet Corfant on the beach.
Wow.
So this is his descendants murdered this poor lady because they thought she was a witch.
Wow. Which is a good segue into the next James Bond film, No Time to Die.
There's no way to die, and it's No Time to Die. Yeah. Agreed. So,
man,
bonker stuff.
I want to know how heavy this door was. Like, was it a...
I mean, it must have been pretty strong.
What are we talking about here?
To hold all the stones and then also...
I like the idea that they then would go surfing with the door afterward.
Or that the door wasn't actually detached. And I was like, wait there. I just... No, it's a Phillips head screwdriver. I've only got a flat head. No, okay. Well, take the hinges off. I'm going to reuse them.
Can somebody go get the blacksmith to get this door off its hinges, please? No, the blacksmith's not feeling well. The one that is ill. He drank some water with ash in it.
So yeah, that's the story of the Pitt and Weem witch trials. I mean, not much of a trial. Oh, it was just like
it's not a trial.
Like, yeah. People murder, basically. Johnny, you got one for us. You got another spooky but uplifting story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I would use the word uplifting.
Yeah, none of them are going
to
be.
It's quite interesting to me because there is so almost like cookie cutter of the same hysteria just applied in a different place. Like this same theme, same sort of approach. But so this is, and admittedly, Dad helped me with my homework on this one because Rory sent me this story because he's the one in charge. But this is in a place slightly closer to where we all know. So in Pollock, in the south side of Glasgow, southwest of Glasgow. This is sort of...
another reason not to visit Glasgow.
God damn it.
Yeah. So, like, we've worked hard to sell people, Chris. Stop undermining
it. Stop hating on our city.
And this is back in 1677. So Pollock, we know now from like things like Pollock Park, the Borough Collection. It's all lovely, beautiful place. Go visit Glasgow. Great. Smiles better. All the rest of it. but the story basically revolves around this girl called Janet Douglas, who is a mute servant girl who comes to work at the Maxwell family estate. So this is 1677, 1676. And this is what's interesting to me. They describe like Sir George Maxwell, who's the sort of laird of the estate. And he's described as like an avid witch hunter. You know, people were like touring the country, just like hunting them down. It's like you can get a sense of the
it makes sense because James was like the king of the avid witch hunters. And there's probably all these Scottish lords and noblemen who are like, need to curry favor with the king. So they're like, I also hunt witches.
He's a voracious reader, excellent pianist, and an avid witch hunter.
Yeah, padding out the CV.
Exactly. So this mute servant girl
is. Is Lord Maxwell or whatever? Is that what Maxwell Park's named after?
Great question.
Near where we grew up as well,
don't know
where we went to school.
I'm gonna say yes.
Nice, like it.
I mean, in fact, we can check that, but who knows? Yeah. So George Maxwell, this girl Janet comes to work, and then soon after she arrives, like, George falls ill with like intense pain, so he's got this pain in his side, and there's sort of all these weird turns in the story where like all of a sudden Janet rediscovers her like speech out of the blue, but kind of and just to be able to accuse five people of being witches, which I think is like really interesting. It's like, oh, I can speak again, it's a miracle, and I need to tell you that these people are witches. It's like, okay, I see where this is going. And so she sort of accuses these five local people of saying they're responsible for his illness. She says that they've been making kind of wax puppets and, you know, almost like, what are they called? The dolls. Voodoo dolls. And so it's kind of just like odd bits of the story where she accuses these people and she's like, the evidence, you go and search the houses because you'll find these wax puppets, and sort of encourages the authorities. I don't know who she's telling, the police, I guess.
I like the idea of the accused people just being like, oh, now she fucking talks.
Yeah. And it's typical. Like, yeah. And there's sort of some, it's all a bit mysterious, but there's some indication that she maybe knew them prior. And there's, you know, there's obviously some beef there, but it's like, you know, there's three other people that work on the estate. There's like a local midwife and her son and daughter are all part of kind of this generic accused set of people that she's like, yeah, they're witches. That's it. And so then it follows the same track, almost like you've said, where they immediately are like tortured. It's like, okay, you must be witches, so we're going to torture you until you, in quote marks, confess. And they all start, you know, naming each other and be like, yeah, we are witches. Which is like, I mean, of course, if you're under like...
I like the scattergun approach as well that every story has taken so far of like, there's not just one witch. It's like, you're all witches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, odds are if you throw enough crap against a wall, something will stick. So,
yeah. Like, spread it wide. Five people. I mean, you're bound to get one of them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's smart. It's smart.
Those I mean, it's good, yeah.
Those bloody Catholics are smart. Okay.
Again.
Taking a
pro.
But then, even with accusing five, they all are... So, on 20th of January of that year, they're all condemned to death and, like, burned at the stake. And actually, four of them are burned, but they have one exception, which is, like, there's a 14-year-old... The daughter of the midwife is a 14-year-old girl called Annabelle. So, she's just sent to jail instead, because it's like, oh, you're too young to be burned. You go to jail. And then
give it a couple of years.
Yeah. And then she sort of kind of survives that for a while, only to be removed and sort of sent to a convent to kind of be reformed and released back into like normal life. I mean, it's just crazy.
There's worse stories of people who've been accused of witches. So that's at least something. But
and then poor Annabelle. So in that article, it basically says she, at some point later in life, stood trial again being accused of a witch. And the quote is just like, must have been an utter nightmare. It's like, yeah. I mean, probably worse than that. Which I just thought was like, you just can't get away from it. They're just flinging accusations.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
Mondays, so, bloody Mondays, am I right?
Yeah, and so this like witch finder, Janet Douglas, the original mute servant, it's kind of like within a few months, Sir George had died anyway. So it's a bit like, okay, he didn't like recover from his illness, I think. And then she sort of apparently fled, and there's some accounts that she showed up in Edinburgh later on, but then I think was committed some crime where she was sort of like whipped and banished somewhere else. And then there's another trace of her in like Newcastle. And so there's sort of just this indication that she's, again, it comes back to the thing, like clearly just touring the country, making a career out of accusing people of witchcraft. And like, you know, it's like, okay, I'm gonna show up in Edinburgh and you're all witches now. And I'm in Newcastle, you're all witches now.
If I was gonna accuse any woman of witchcraft, I would go to Newcastle and odds are I would be correct. You know, we've seen horrible things there. Horrible, horrible things.
Horrible.
Yeah, so
terrifying people there.
Also, I'd just like to get on the record now for next year's Nicely Awards for biggest clanger of season two.
Already?
Yeah, there you go. The Maxwell Park was actually gifted to the city by Sir John Stirling Maxwell, who was a Scottish politician and philanthropist, the park opened in 1890, so... I just don't want to get...
Was he related to...
It was worth a punt. I mean,
I don't want to get loads of emails from all the readers who are like massive Maxwell
fans.
Maxwell heads. I don't want to sift through his sporran of like, again, but yes, we got the wrong Maxwells.
Was it Maximo Park?
No. Oh, Johnny. No.
To be honest, that's what I thought you said initially, and I was like, oh, Christ, Maximal Park. Please don't tell me that's a real place.
No, I've
been avoiding
Maxwell.
That band for like the last 20 years. I don't want to have to avoid a park, a physical place as well.
So that's all they play there.
So listen, readers, before you start getting, you know, itchy fingers, please don't email us about that horrific mistake that we just made. I'm sorry on behalf of Rory and Johnny.
Thanks. I'm glad you're here.
Thanks
well.
For catching that, Chris. Thanks. I appreciate you doing it in real time.
I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit because Johnny was just kind of like, I'm just going to say yes.
So that to me is
like, I don't actually know, but I'm just going to say that it is just in case it's right.
Well,
thinking positively, just in case it's right,
we'll
rather than
post,
I'll say no, worry. Just in case it's wrong.
That's arguably more dangerous. I mean, it, just to harken back to, you know, the theme of our podcast on Donald Trump always says stuff that he thinks might be true.
Okay, Rory, for the edit, I'm going to give you I'm just going to say no. Now you can just when Chris asked me earlier on. If you
I'm on it.
Yeah.
And make it as Slow obvious that, yeah. as possible that it's just been plastered over the top.
No. So that's like, I mean, it's sort of really similar to your story. It's another occasion of people just throwing accusations because they could do that and people's lives being lost because of it. And there was a thing, I saw like a little Herald article about this that said it was one of the cases that sort of became what they call a prototype for the Salem witch trials, which I'm like, okay, so it's It's just nice. Mad, and I'm sure that was repeated, like you said, across the country in lots of ways, and so it's pretty shocking. But
Johnny, all I heard there was that Scotland can lay claim to inventing the Salem witch trials.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's one that we want to claim. One of the few things we don't want to have invented.
Yeah, I don't know. Pretty famous. Get that tourism cash.
There is actually a place called Salem in... Now, is it on Mull?
It's in Maxwell Park.
In Maxwell Park.
Can I just interject to the readers now that before you get all hot?
You can't keep doing the disclaimers in the middle of the show. No,
but Salem is
here forever.
I don't want the readers to email us. Salem is not in Maxwell Park, okay? It's not.
I really hope we get a load of people from Pollock Shaw's emailing us going, actually.
Actually, Chris, I think you'll find you're mistaken.
So Pitt and Weem, just taking a step back in terms of the Salem, Pitt and Weem had a moment where a few years ago they had a council vote to see whether they were going to build a memorial to the witches, or it's always quote-unquote witches, the people that were burnt after being accused of being witches. It wasn't just the few that I talked about. There's a total of like 26 over the however long it was. They were just killed in this little village, and they were like, okay, yes, let's do this. Let's build a memorial kind of as a way of making some sort of slight amends. And they voted against it pretty quickly. And one of the councilmen was very annoyed because it was like, well, you know, in Salem, in Massachusetts, they have a memorial to the witches that were killed there. And that brings all the tourists to Salem. So I feel like if we'd built one, we'd have all the tourist dollars coming to Pitt and Weem. And it's like, I don't think you quite have the same historical, you know, connection, Mr. Councilman, Pitt and Weem Councilman. But it was a nice little attempt, at least.
I'd rather be known for having a good chippy than...
Yes.
than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely don't think Pitt and Weem's suffering from not enough tourism, is it?
No, I know.
I don't think so.
It seems to be doing okay.
All right, Horrible Owen, what's your witchy story for us today?
Right, so I chose Helen Duncan, who was the last Scot to be tried under the 1725 Witchcraft Act. Helen Duncan was born in 1897, so when you look at that, you think, okay, that's quite old, that's quite a long time ago, but just wait until the end. As a young girl, she regularly scared her friends, classmates, and her Protestant parents with her prophecies and hysterical behaviour. Throw in the Protestant bit for some reason. I don't know why. It's just I was very attracted to that.
The Catholics have taken a kicking this episode, so we got to dish them out to the Protestants.
We're bringing them back in. So she ended up getting married in 1916, aged 19, to a man who thoroughly supported her paranormal talents, as it is put.
He liked a bit of the weird, didn't he?
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Now, she also had... So together, they ended up having 6 kids, and she worked part-time in a bleach factory. Now, if that doesn't drive you to witchcraft or what ends up actually happening, I don't know what will. I mean...
That sounds horrifying.
For some reason, I thought bleach was natural. didn't realize you actually had to have a factory that made it, but there you go. So she started offering seances in 1926, and she would emit this, like, ectoplasm from her mouth.
It was bleach.
It's definitely bleach, yeah.
You gotta stop eating the bleach. Stop it.
But it was eventually found out it was like bits of cheesecloth that was kind of like stuffed into her mouth and that. And she just kind of...
That's so disgusting. I don't know. That just sounds awful. I know. I think that's the worst thing I've heard in the last hour and a half. And we've literally talked about people's breasts being ripped off.
I just don't think I'll ever have that much commitment to a bit. like, she's obviously what she, I'm assuming she did that to try and make them think that she was possessed or whatever, and that was one of the tricks.
Yeah, so basically, so that, like, in 1928, so just a couple of years later, a photographer went to one of her seances and took flash photography, sort of like flash photographs, at the seance. And in Helen Duncan's seances, all the lights would be switched off. So when he took the pictures, that then sort of started to give people an idea as to what exactly was happening. And one of the main things that was happening was she had a paper mache doll that she would rub against people during the seances to try and convince them that there was people there. And then occasionally she would chuck a white bedspread across her head as well to appear like a ghost. Which just, I mean, the whole thing is actually quite epic when you think about it.
I mean, again, how dark was it? Just because the lights were off. If somebody's rubbing like a doll next to me, I'd be, what's...
Yeah, but I have an idea of a seance being like the lights are switched off and you've got your eyes closed. Like, so that to me is just like the sort of the sensible answer to your question.
Also, Rory, paper mache, it can feel weird, you know? It's weird.
It'll make that kind of rustling sound as well, you know, so...
Are you boys confessing to the fact that you're scared of paper mache? Is that what it is?
I really don't agree with arts and crafts.
Did Neil Buchanan touch you?
It's not point to on the doll where you were touched. It's point to on your body where the doll touched you. That sounded cleverer in my head, I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, that's another math joke for you right there.
It's well constructed. It's number two.
This is what happens, Rory, when you don't lead the whole episode. Oh, you see, Johnny had the better math joke right there. Top right over.
Come on.
Oh, Christ.
All right, what else did this charlatan do, Owen?
Well, to add a wee bit more into her charlatan-esque escapades, in 1933, during another seance, she was found out again after someone jumped up and turned the lights on to find that the spirit was a stuffed vest.
I mean,
this sounds ridiculous.
So her... The entirety of her power was just having the light switched off.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, also being creative with, you know, items of clothing and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, it is actually... On the source that I found, I'm not going to say at any point that I used Wikipedia, but it maybe rhymes with Wikipedia. There's actually one of the photographs that that the photographer took is actually on there, so you can actually see the photograph of the seance with the creepy paper mache doll.
That's pretty cool.
And at that point, so in 1933, she was convicted of fraudulent mediumship, but it wasn't part of the witchcraft thing. She was just like, of the witchcraft act, it was just like she was just charged for it. She never, I don't think she went to prison or anything at that particular point.
Yeah. That's weird, because it's like fraudulent mediumship suggests that the crime is her being fraudulent, a fraudulent medium, whereas so it was okay to be a legit medium.
I mean, it genuinely seemed that at the time that it was that was a thing. I mean, to be honest, it still is. People are still being conned out of tens of thousands of pounds or dollars or tens of thousands of national currency enter here every year for people talking bullshit out of you.
I just love the idea it was basically predicated on turning the lights out and hanging some like dolls around you. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Some like Halloween decorations around the place. Oh, it's a ghost.
I like the idea that it happened, she got done for it twice. Like, you know, you know, how did she rebuild the reputation? It was like, no, I'm serious now. I'm a serious man.
she kind of seemed to like disappear for a while. She was like, yeah, it's okay, I won't do it again, and then did it again. So, like, it all kind of comes to a head during World War II. So, in November 1941, Helen held another seance and claimed that a ship called the HMS Barham had been sunk, which it had been, but it wasn't made public until January 1942. So then she starts getting put under the microscope specifically by the Navy of like how on earth did you find this out? And
she's a Nazi.
Maybe. Nazi witches. Fuck.
Oh, I mean that's
wait, isn't Nazi zombies.
That's an excellent you know, idea.
Like
isn't that bed knobs and broomsticks?
Near enough, actually. You're not far off of that one. So because of that, she was kind of put under like investigation in a way by the Navy. And one of her seances was attended by a Lieutenant Worth. And during that seance, Helen claimed that Lieutenant Worth's auntie had died, and as had his sister, and he knew not of the death of an auntie at any point in his life, and his sister was perfectly fine. Mm. So he actually reported Helen to the police.
So she really swung for the fences with that one, didn't she? Like,
oh, yeah.
Backed into a corner. 50-50 here. Let's go.
She's dead. I'm going for dead.
So after that, she was arrested originally under Section 4 of the Vagrancy Act of 1824 because they couldn't quite like work out like they wanted her to be arrested, but they didn't know what they could arrest her for, sort of thing. But that was only like a minor offence, so she would just be like seen to a magistrate and probably get like a fine slap in the wrist and away you go. But then they found Section 4 of the Witchcraft Act, which was a major offence and was at the time trialable by a jury.
So when was this? What year was this?
So that was in 1940. Well, I'm guessing it would be 1941, 1942-ish.
Wow.
She was sentenced in 1944. So the trial would have been in 1944.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Around so, yeah, it was kind of... But it was kind of the... It was that... like seance where she the report by Lieutenant Worth is essentially what kind of
more like Lieutenant Worthless, am I right, guys?
Yeah.
But that's they're still basically trialing people for witchcraft in the 40s.
Yes,
that's what you're saying.
Yes.
Johnny's reaction to that crap but joke.
Wait until you find out. I mean, the witchcraft act has now been repealed. But wait until you find out when it was repealed. So Helen was charged with, there was like seven charges, if I'm right. So there was two charges of conspiracy to contravene the Witchcraft Act, two charges of obtaining money under false pretenses, and three charges of common law offences of public mischief. So after the trial and the jury come out to read out their verdict, she was found guilty over the first act of conspiracy to contravene the Witchcraft Act, at which point the judge dismissed the jury from reading out the rest of the charges because I think he was just like, right, we've got one, we don't need the rest, like, it's 1944, I think we can sort of, you know, the war and shit. I just think he was just like, nah, yeah. Right. We've got enough. Let's
move
here.
On. We got better things to do.
You say exactly. That, you say that, Owen, but I reckon they found her to be a witch. What better way to defeat the Nazis? You know, they defeat the Nazis in 1945 by harnessing her power.
Must be.
I mean, look, if this was America...
Hitler was very superstitious.
If this was America, they would absolutely have started the Avengers Initiative right there and then with her.
Yep.
And tried to... I'm just saying, guys, this is...
I don't think you're wrong. I think this is a great idea. I think it's a great movie. I'm excited for it.
I've got a couple of contacts I could put you in touch with about that. So she was sentenced to 9 months in prison for being found guilty over the Witchcraft Act. Now, I did say that she was the last Scot to be convicted under the Witchcraft Act. There was others after that. So as I said, she was sentenced in 1944, which is crazy to think that it was only, yeah, you know, that long ago. The witchcraft was finally repealed in June 1951.
That's insane.
1951, which was then replaced. So when that act was repealed, it was replaced by the Fraudulent Mediums Act. Right, so okay. Basically, they kind of moved on from witchcraft. I think they basically just kind of said, right, witchcraft doesn't exist. But I don't know why it's called fraudulent mediums, though. I don't get that. I mean, we kind of alluded that already. Because it's just like, can it not just be called the Mediums Act?
Well, if it was if it was called the Medium Act, then people would say, well, what about the big act or the little act?
what about the small, the large, the extra large, the supersized?
Yeah,
supersized act.
It's only a medium. It's only a medium offense, but so it's a slap on the wrist.
This is getting out of control.
Please stop this. All of this is awful.
I get it. I'm with you, Chris.
I guess another way of calling the Medium Act would be the 3.5 Act. It's right in the middle.
That, yeah, I mean, that was the average. If you, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Oh, God. I hate you guys. All right. I'm going to finish this off with one last story about witches. And it's a little bit different than...
Which one you're going to pick? Which...
It's the best one, Johnny. Stop. Right. That doesn't work.
Which
are you just gonna pick? Are you just gonna read the plot to Hocus Pocus?
Yes, I am, but in a Scottish accent. So yes. No,
it works every time.
I'm gonna talk about the story of Major Thomas Weir, who, after this story, you guys are probably gonna think of him as Majorly Weird Thomas. Am I right?
I don't get
there
it.
There you go.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I know. You will.
Planet Earth to Major Thomas.
Major Thomas Weir was born in 1599, just outside of Glasgow, near Lanark. He was a retired soldier. He moved to Edinburgh around 1670 after serving in the army and the military for most of his life. And he was living just off of the Grassmarket with his unmarried sister, Jean Weir, who was affectionately known as Grizzle to her friends. I don't know why, but she was.
Was she like a 17th century rapper?
Yeah. DJ Grizzle Witch. Major Thomas Weir was described as a serious man, very pious, always dressed in black. He was also notably fiercely anti-Catholic and also anti-royalist. He lived a very pious Presbyterian life. He was regularly seen at church. He would have sort of like events at his house. You know, people would come over and he would have services and they would talk about, you know, the religion and all that type of stuff. However, one day at a church service, the major suddenly stood up and accused himself of witchcraft and of being in the service of the devil.
Wow. Okay. Strong.
Yeah. So
strong
just
move.
All in the middle is like, I'm a witch. And obviously the reaction to everybody else, for everybody else, was that he was ill and he must have like lost his mind. So they called the doctors. And the doctors examined him and declared him of not sound mind. But he was so insistent of his own guilt that the authorities basically had nothing that they could do. So they just decided to imprison him because it was a case of like, well, he could be crazy or he could be a witch. And so it's safer to assume that he's a witch and put him in prison, which is what they did. So it wasn't long before they found out that he was living with his sister. So almost immediately they arrested her as well. And then when they questioned him When they questioned his sister, Grizzle, instead of denying being a witch and him being in service of the devil, she corroborated the entire story and was like, yep, he is. We both are. And she basically claimed that that the devil had given him, the Major, a black staff that he carried everywhere with him, and that it contained this great power. They said that their mother was a witch and had taught them their powers. They both claimed to have an ancestral relationship with each other. Grizzle said that she was showing off the devil's mark that she had on her forehead and was like, this is like where my power comes from. This is when I met the devil. This is the mark that he gave me. She also claimed to have the power to spin really good yarn very fast, which is slightly off the beat of everything else.
Yeah, I don't associate the devil with knitting.
Yeah, I know. I think she was just showing off at that point. She was just riffing. She didn't know what she was doing.
And I can...
and I'm really fast.
Yes. It's like, yeah, I got the devil's mark. I sleep with my brother. Also, I can knit yarn really quickly.
Sorry, could you just go back to the part where you said you slept with your brother? Because that's...
The devil's mark? The devil's mark part?
No. The bit where you... the incest bit.
Oh, you want me to talk more about his big magic staff? Okay, yeah. So they didn't really know what to do with this situation because he was such an upstanding member of society. He has this like litany of people who are saying like, no, he's a good Christian man. He's definitely not in with the devil. But the major,
but he accused himself of doing it, like doing anything.
Yeah, he would like practice black magic. That the staff would go and do errands for him. That it could walk by itself. Apparently, they freely. Oh, he also said that he would have like. He was like into bestiality and all this type of stuff, like, and it was all part of like the rituals that they would perform in service and worship of the devil. Just again, nonsense stuff. And that was what was so confusing. It was like, well, he's telling us he's doing this, but he's also, you know, a man. So what do we do? So they tried him for it was like deviant behavior. It was like unnatural perversions, and he was sentenced to death like so many of the others. But the way that they killed him was they strangled him at like they basically tied him to a stake and then strangled him and then burnt him, which is just horribly messed up. And at no point during the entire thing did he ever recant what he said. He was just like, yeah, this is definitely me. I'm definitely a witch. I did it all. I don't care if you're strangling me and going to set fire to me. His sister was tried for being a witch. So Grizzle was hanged, and her last moment of hurrah was while she was on the scaffolding, on the stage to be hanged. She was desperately trying to take off all her clothes so that she could be hanged naked. And then was hanged until dead.
Just to
and
go
also,
back.
Also didn't say I'm not. She was just like, yeah, I'm a witch.
No, she was also totally into it. This is us.
I'm going to go back to the theme that we had earlier with James the First here. Like, I suspect these two had mummy issues.
I think they probably did. Yeah. I think they definitely did.
Yeah.
So that's how this bizarre brother-sister weird witch kind of cult situation happened. And obviously the house that they lived in is said to have been haunted because it was filled with occult devil worship and all that
type
of stuff.
Where was this, Rory?
This was in Edinburgh, just off the Grassmarket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, their bodies were like thrown into one of the pits where apparently like a bunch of witches were killed and buried, like kind of unmarked graves, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, that was... Like I said, majorly weird Thomas. You get it now?
No.
You're welcome.
No. I just can't quite believe it. Like, see with the grass market. I was in the grass market just like a couple of weeks ago. And like, see for an area that's so small. See the amount of shit that happened there. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. A lot of dead people. In
wasn't
that, area.
That where Greyfriars Bobby was accused of being a witch as well?
No, we've cleaned this up. It was where Half Hanget Maggie was hung
by Greyfriars Bobby.
Yes, I think that's right. Yeah. I think
Greyfriars is right there. So you never know. He could have. He could have.
He could have. He probably did.
He lived for ages, apparently.
He was a must have been
under some form of witchcraft because he fucking lived forever. according to every tour guide in Edinburgh, he was like 95 year old when he died.
But I think it's probably a good time to wrap up. So I first off want to say I hope everybody has an excellent Halloween. Happy Halloween from the Scottish History Pod and Thistle Boo Nicely team. But yeah, most of all, thank you, Owen, for coming on and staying up into New York hours because I can't imagine how messed up you are right now in terms of sleep. So yeah, thank you for coming on and doing this with us again.
It's all good, man. It's all good. I'd probably be up playing FIFA anyway, so.
But yeah, any of the usual Thistle Do Nicely readers who have not listened to the Scottish History Pod, highly recommend it. It's much better research and much more better. I can't even fucking speak, so you can
much
tell
more better.
Yeah, better informed, better research. So definitely check it out. And if you listen to our last couple of episodes, it is now hosted by Alan Cumming.
Yeah. I'm really sorry he couldn't be in here tonight, but as I explained to you, he called you all a bunch of bastards and then stormed out the room when he found out I was coming on your podcast.
He's so. Got a lot of nerve, I tell you. If he ever shows his face around here, I'm gonna
He just voice. Randomly slips into being Boris at the James Bond film and that as well. Just
invincible.
He just randomly slips into it. Like,
he's got a lot of range, though. A lot of range.
Buckfast Boris.
No, that's amazing. Thanks for coming on.
No worries.
So, I guess with that, this'll do, lads. This'll do nicely. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you like the show, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and write a quick review on whichever podcasting app you're using. It really does help us out. We'd love to hear from you either via our email, thistledonicelypod@gmail.com, or via facebook.com/thistledopod, or follow us on Instagram and Twitter @thistledopod. You can also visit our website, thistledonicelypod.com. All original music in this podcast is written and performed by our very own Johnny Naismith. Please like and subscribe to his YouTube channel and follow him on Instagram @JAW_KNEE_. Love, hugs, and kisses from the Thistle Do Nicely Pod.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.